Seek ye first.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
Then go right over to the next page on 183, Thy Word.
Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. And nothing I will fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. And nothing I will fear as long as you are near. Please be with me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Page 90. Glorify Thy name.
Did 19? Did I say 90? 19. 19.
Page 19.
Father, we love you. We worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name, glorify thy name, glorify thy name in all the earth. Jesus, we love you, we worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Spirit, we love you, we worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify. name in all the earth.
Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we sing Spirit of the Living God, page 131.
Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me.
Good morning. Right down in your calendar, we're starting early today. That's unusual for church. The announcements are kind of extending what they've been. This is the last Sunday to give, or during the week to give for the backpacks. Next Sunday will be the blessing of the backpacks. Remember, it's easy as writing a check and putting on the memo backpacks. So if you haven't done that, today is your last day to do that. Important announcement, you remember it's covered dish after service today. Cookbook insert for recipes is in your bulletin, so get that done. And we mentioned this last week, October the 12th is the change of date for the fundraising auction for United Methodist Men. So if you have anything that's you think will sell, be sure to turn that in. Did everybody get their pictures taken? Did you notice? I just want you guys that are follically challenged, did you notice they could whiten your teeth? They could whiten your eyes in case you were hungover? They could take wrinkles out of your neck? They could get rid of crow's feet? They could not add hair. So I feel persecuted. I'm going to get Ray's number. I was too upset to complain about it while I was there. So, but that was painless. That was done as well as I've seen it done. He was running on time when we were there, and it was painless except for paying for it. So, if you're registered attendance, pass the maroon attendance to your right. Prayer slips are in the front of the pew. The ushers will come by and get those at the appropriate time. If any of y'all, this is Cloudcroft United Methodist Church. If you're not supposed to be here, now is the appropriate time to get up and leave. So I'm finding as I get older, sometimes I find myself in that kind of situation. Any other announcements?
I have one. Well, choir has had 6 weeks off, but you no longer have any time off. Choir practice starts Wednesday, 6 o'clock, and we invite anyone who would like to come and sing to come and join us. Even if you're here just for the summer, come and join us. We'd love to have you. 6 o'clock on Wednesday.
Very good. Let's worship.
Thank you. Our opening hymn is found on page 732. Please stand as we sing together, "Come We That Love the Lord."
Love the Lord and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord and loose around the throne. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, but children of the heavenly King be joys abroad. The hill of Zion yields a thousand sacred sweets. Before we reach the heavenly fields or walk the golden streets, then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. Marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high.
Our call to worship this morning is found in your bulletins, responsive reading. God is good and loving to the faithful. Let us give thanks and praise for all that God has done for us. Let us proclaim his name on every situation. God is good. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you will turn to A81 in your hymnals, if you need that, our acclamation or affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed. Let us unite in this historic confession of our Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please turn in your Faith We Sing books to page 2162 as we sing together Grace Alone.
Christ in us, our cornerstone.
Please be seated. Our prayer confession you find in your bulletin. Let me read this in unison. Sometimes, O God, we behave poorly. We get distracted in our routines, so busy with our daily chores that we do not take time to listen to your words. In your mercy, heal our worries and our judgments so that we can live up to what you have created us to be. In the name of our loving Master, amen. Before, because of our evil thoughts and actions, we were strangers and enemies of God. Now we can live in peace, restored by the blood shed on the cross. Live faithfully in Jesus Christ. We are forgiven. Thanks be to God. If the ushers would come forward for our offering.
Since you talked with the Lord and told him your heart's hidden secrets, how long since you pray? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? Has it been since your mind felt at ease? How long since your heart knew no burden? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you? How long has it been since you knelt by your bed and prayed to the Lord up in heaven? How long since you knew that he'd answer you and would keep you the long night through? How long has it been since you woke with the dawn and felt that the day's worth a living? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you? call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you?
Testing. Okay. Hi. What do you think we're going to do with this?
Laundry.
Yeah. No, we're not. But let me see. Would you come here? Will you stand in that for me? Okay. Now, I want you to pick it up. You can't do it. Why not? So you can't do it all by yourself. How do you think we can do it? Together. So somebody want to help me? Come on, we'll help. Okay, let's see if we can lift her up. Hang on, put your arms on our shoulders so you don't. Okay, can we lift her up? Yeah, okay. Okay, you can sit down.
Physics lesson. Physics lesson.
Well, it's not just if we're standing in a pail we have to have help, is there? We have to have help for everything, don't you think? I have to go to the grocery store, and I'm always looking for somebody because I can't reach the stuff on that shelf. They should just bring a little stool there, and you can roll it down and get what you want. What else do you need help for? What?
If you can't reach something, you can maybe help. Homework?
Nothing. But do you know that everybody needs help? And what's so sad is, though, as we get older, this is for most of the people out here, we're afraid to ask for help. It's like we're afraid we're going to put someone out, or it's like, oh, I don't want to bother them, or whatever. But everybody needs to be okay with asking for help. And then at the same time, if you see someone that needs help, just help them. They don't necessarily have to ask. Everybody's going to need help with all kinds of things, and that's how God made it. He says that we should carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. We need teachers, parents, pastors, friends, neighbors, doctors, bakers, fellow church people, and many others. It does not mean you're weak if you ask for help. It means you're smart. So this is the way God wants us to do it. So God's plan is that everyone helps everybody. Don't be afraid to ask for help. And don't be afraid to help someone. So let's say our prayer, okay? Dear Lord, please give us the strength to help others. And help us, Lord, to ask for help if we need it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Good morning, everyone.
It's a great morning. I see faces that of our summer family. They're back, and then did I see Pat somewhere all the way down from Florida? I love that. I love that. Thank you so much. Thank everyone for coming and being part of our family here today and being able to worship. For those that are watching us faithfully on Facebook, thank you for being part of our family also. I hope that the word reaches your heart in a very special way and that one day you'll be able to come down and be with us, especially on the third Sunday is Potluck Sunday. Okay, we're going to go with our joys and concerns, and we have a concern today. It's a prayer. Chuck Smith is lifting up Lynn Skinner for health concerns. We have been praying for her for a while, so we will continue to lift her up in our prayers. For those that are traveling, for those that are in and out, vacation time, returning to school, family reunions and class reunions. For all those that find themselves on the road today, we ask for a special blessing, a travel mercy, so that they will go back to their homes in health and in joy. Father, we praise you, Lord, and we give you thanks for the opportunity of coming together. What a joy that is for all of us. We pray for Lynn, my Heavenly Father. You know exactly what it is that she needs, Lord. So we continue, Father, to lift her up into your care. We thank you, Father, that you have made us, all of us, prayer warriors, my Heavenly Father, that we can just come into your presence, my Heavenly Father, and just speak with you, Lord, what is in our hearts, Father. So we thank you, Father, that as a church, we're able to intercede for her. And privately, my Heavenly Father, we remember all your children that are in need of you today. And it is, Father, with our faith that we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our reading today, it's kind of like, I kind of went over a board. I got four verses. But your program tells you exactly what pages they're in. So I'm going to read from Luke 6:46, Matthew 7:21 and 23, Isaiah 29 and 13, and Revelations 3:16. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name and in your name drive demons, and in your name perform miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules that they have been taught. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The view of all or nothing can be a scary one. When we're faced with the significant areas of our lives, just having to choose, do I give it all or will just a little bit do? When we're trying to take on something and know it means giving up something else, we often try to split ourselves to find a compromise that fits both things into our lives. There are many times when all or nothing ultimatum is unattractive to us because of the fear of missing out. This can describe the choices that many believers make when it comes to their faith. We want to be liked, we want to be popular, we all want to be loved. And there is nothing wrong with that. Have you ever convinced yourself that you don't have to give up something that clearly conflicts with your faith? You don't have to answer to me. Just think about that. Periods of compromise don't automatically make you a lukewarm Christian, but a continuous pattern of behaviors which reveals a lack of commitment to God, that does. Our faith does not have a cafeteria plan. Our Christianity is not a Luann platter. The church is not Luby's. You don't choose what you want to believe, what you want to uphold. The right and wrong of life has already been chosen by God. You can say, I'll take ushering, petition, choir, and most Sunday's church service. But I don't want to commit to make a commitment. I'm not sure if I can be faithful. And I certainly don't want responsibilities. And I'm not really thinking that I can live through the whole truth of the gospel. Well, our Christianity is not like that. You either take it all or nothing. When it comes to God, we should be afraid to put off the need to give our all. We cannot, like, we know that we should give our all, but we're kind of like always holding a little bit back. I have a friend that once told me, I have given everything to the Lord, but I will never do this. And I said, oh. So the Lord can come in all of your heart except this part here. Because that door is shut to him, right? It didn't dawn on her that any time that you said, I'll do all this, but the but is a shut door. And if you have room in your life that is not open to God, then you're not open either. When it comes to God, we should be afraid not to give our all, not to try to give our all. Remember, we're not perfect, and God knows that. But we need to try. We need to make that effort. We need to try that everything we offer to God is our best. We cannot be lukewarm Christians. We cannot choose today, well, I'll do this, but then tomorrow we change our minds. That's not the way it goes. It only hurts ourselves, but most of all, it hurts God. We need to understand that there is not in between God's love and us. We need to understand that we are guided by God, and that every time we choose to do something else, it is our free will, God-given. But by us choosing that direction, we're also saying no to his direction. 1 John 2:15 and 16 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. Listen to Paul's warning on 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. It says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you have failed the test. As a pastor, we hear many things, and every once in a while I do hear. I thought I was a Christian for years. I swore I had a relationship with God. I believe I could die at any moment and be welcome in heaven. The truth is, I wasn't. I didn't. I wouldn't. I know people who assume that if they had any desire to be a Christian, God should welcome them with shouts of joy, that that's all it takes to follow Christ. No one ever told me that people could do a lot of mighty good acts, a lot of good works, and yet still be very lost. Good works and salvation are not a product of each other. They are opposites. Many convince themselves that they are safe from wrath, from the wrath of God. No one told them that the lukewarm Christian gets spit out of God's mouth, Revelation 3:16. No one informed them that if God was not first in their hearts, they are either in urgent need of repentance or they're lost. One thing I must tell you, I have never met anyone that was okay with being lukewarm. Most people don't realize that they are. Many tell me, Pastor, I don't cuss much. I don't sleep around. I go to church most Sundays, so I must be a Christian. I said that Jesus died for my sins. I sang the lyrics on the screen, and I pray before meals. I gave God props for my athletic achievements. I must be a good Christian. Sure, God wasn't my all in all. Sure, I hardly read his word and I don't pray very much. Sure, I secretly haven't given up all my sins. Sure, holiness seems dreadfully boring. Surely, I rarely own him in public or spend time with him in private. But he understands I am only human after all. No one is perfect. Some of us keep telling ourselves, and we live in that delusion, muting our conscience and convincing ourselves that we are right with God by this simple statement that I'm going to tell you. This is how God made me, so I must be okay. No, it's not. I know that when I do sin, when I lose my temper, when I do things that I know that grieve the Holy Spirit, I know that God didn't make me that way. I have learned to search to see what was the trigger that walked me to that point in my life. But I know that God didn't make me that way. God knows that we're not perfect, but he also knows that he has given us the tools to work towards his perfection. He is the righteous in us. We are never going to be perfect on our own. But that doesn't mean that we just take for granted and we just go about our lives like, well, I failed. God made me that way. We cannot shift the blame on God. We take no responsibility. I'd like to share with you 8 signs that tell us if we are lukewarm Christians. A lukewarm Christian don't really want to be saved from their sin. They want only to be saved from the penalty of their sin. God is a useful fire escape they employ, not the God they worship. A lukewarm Christians are moved by stories about people who do radical things for Christ, yet they do not do radical things themselves. They call those radical people, they're really wild. They're really, really very radical. They're fanatics. And by no means do we ever want to be called a fanatic of Jesus, a fanatic of doing right, a fanatic of sharing grace, the grace that we have been given. A lukewarm Christian equates their partiality, sanitized lives with holiness. But Jesus didn't call us to sanitation. He called us to discipleship. If you are his follower, your life will not be defined only by avoiding sin, but also by entering his suffering. What does that mean? Things will happen. Be prepared. Know the promises of God so that when things happen, you have something to hold on to and you know who's holding you up. A lukewarm Christian rarely shares their faith with their neighbors, their co-workers, or their friends. Like Charles Spurgeon said, you're either a missionary or an imposter. All of us are supposed to carry the word of God outside of our homes, outside of our hearts. We are to look for the opportunity of telling someone the God that rules your life and how great that God is. A lukewarm Christian thinks about life on earth much more often than eternity in heaven. A lukewarm Christian is so preoccupied with the things that are going around us right now that we hardly sit down and think, what is heaven really going to be like? When I did that, because I have a great imagination, I see heaven surrounded by a great sea. And my room, the room that the Lord has for me, is oceanfront. And I see myself walking, not in street of gold, but I see myself walking around the sand. I cannot tell you what that means to me. It means the end of everything that I have gone through and the beginning of eternity for me. And I will be in the presence of Jesus, on the side of God, accompanied by the Holy Spirit, doing the one thing that I love the most, just walk by the sea. I love that. I love that picture. We should all have a picture of what heaven is to us. The picture of one of my kids of heaven includes a big kitchen and me in it. They're wrong. I have told them, oh, no, 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 you need to come down to the seashore. I'm down there. I'm not in the kitchen. Lukewarm Christians love their luxuries and rarely give in a truly sacrificial way. What is a sacrificial way of giving? A sacrificial way of giving is when you give in faith rather than sight. Is when this is your wallet or your checkbook and you go like this. You don't look to see, okay, well, I can't afford that 50. I've been saving that 100 for a while. Well, I got a couple of dollars. Let me go ahead. That is not sacrificial giving. Sacrificial giving is when you say, you know, I go to Dave's at least 3 times a week for breakfast. And their bad coffee. Let me put those $7 that I spent on that breakfast, let me put them in a jar and let me give that as an offering at church this Sunday. And then to be really sacrificial, the people that I'm going to meet there at Dave's, I'm going to call them and say, come over for coffee. I have better coffee than Dave's, and then we'll meet at my house, or we'll meet anywhere. That is a sacrifice. Is it a big sacrifice? No. Is it going to kill you? No. But you're saying, I am not going to do this that gives me so much pleasure in order to do this little extra. See, it's never about the amount. is always about the sacrifice. It is never equal giving. It is always equal sacrifice. Lukewarm Christians do not live only in the hopes of what they have put together in the structure of their lives. They live in the structure of God's plan for their lives. And this is when we really walk by faith, because of course, we don't have the whole picture of God's plan for our lives. We don't know what's coming in on Tuesday or Wednesday. I don't even know what's coming in tomorrow, and I have two to-do lists already. But we really don't. So we have to live in the structure of what God has made of us. There is no way that you can be in the front lines of missions unless you prepare yourself and you commit yourself to speak to someone about God. At least start low once a week. Talk to someone that you have never talked to before. Do something that you have not done before. Invite the neighbor that you don't like. That's really sacrificial. A lukewarm Christian does not give God their leftovers. They give them their first and their best. Stop calling your you know that I have a problem with this world. Complacency and apathy, a busy schedule, or bills, or forgetfulness. Malachi 1:8 says, when you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Will he be pleased with you? Will he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. We have to offer our best to God, or it's very easy to fall in the lukewarm side of our faith. Only you know what is your best. We're not able to judge. Nobody's able to judge what your best is. It is just between you and your God. We all struggle with seasons where we're lukewarm, where we are striving to maintain a commitment to Christ, but where we falter. I have been there too. This sermon is as much a warning for me as it is for you. I cannot allow to lose my focus on who I serve and who I consider to be the center of my being. If I just move slightly to one side or the other, it's very easy for me to be lukewarm. So I have to fight to keep focus of who I serve. You need to fight to keep focus of who you serve. But the vital question is this. When you became a Christian, did it include a surrender to get involved in the mission of God? Have you personally engaged in the mission of God? Offering your time, your talent, and treasures as a blank check, not to the church, but to God? Do you remember, especially those that did not grow in the church, when you first were saved, you just couldn't have enough of Christ? I bet you at that time, you wrote that check. Write it again if you have misplaced it. And if you grew up in the church, then you know that these words are not new to you. That Christ should be the center of your life, your all. If you're not holding back, are you sure you're one of his followers? Again, that is a question that only you can answer. Lord, how far am I behind you? Am I a few steps? Am I a block away? Maybe this is something for us to ponder this week. We talk a lot about the rest of the world going to hell. We do. But maybe we should ask ourselves, are we okay? Lord, are we okay? Do you believe in Jesus as your only Savior, as the truth, the way, and the light? Do you believe that there is no other way through heaven but through him? You need to answer that question yourself. And once you answer that question again, give thanks, give praise, because the Holy Spirit is in you, and the Holy Spirit is reassuring you again. Yes, you are. Yes, you got the message right, which is what we all want to do. This might be most of the most important sermons I will ever give you, and also one of the most unpopular, because nobody wants to be questioned about their faith. And I understand that. That's why I set myself right up front. I can tell you that it's not easy for me, and I can tell you that I had been trying not to do this sermon for a little while, but the Lord kept bringing things to me, and I figured, okay, let me just go ahead and do what I'm being given, and I hope that I do the best that I can with what the Lord gives me. So if I have offended you, it was not my intention. In my time here as your pastor, if I have said something that has encouraged you to think about where you are in your faith journey, then that will be the best thing that I leave behind. My sole purpose for being here is to declare the glory of God, to remind you whose children we are, and that is a child of God, and to encourage you and myself to live according to the Word of God. The sign of a genuine saving faith is a passionate commitment to the fame of God, the people of God, and the mission of God. In closing, please remember that while we were worse than lukewarm, the King of Kings died for us, Romans 5:8. That although our sins or apathy had earned us death, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ, Romans 6:23. Jesus didn't come for those who are well, but he came, and his compassion and grace are for those who are sick in their spirit and earnestly seek his healing touch. And that is all of us. I'd like to leave you with a promise given to all of us from Jesus Christ himself. It says, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and I discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Revelation 3:19-22. God bless you all. I'm not. He says he's too depressed to eat. Okay. Get him out. We have a closing hymn, and I'm missing Judy. I'm going to put a bell on you. I'm looking forward for you.
Please turn to page 2172 in your Faith We Sing books and stand as we sing together, We Are Called.
And now receive this blessing from the Lord, and as I also pray for our meal. Go out into the world proclaiming Christ in every corner. Receive the blessing of the triune God and share this blessing with others. Heavenly Father, we ask you that you bless our meal today, Lord, and that you bless the hands that prepare them, as well as every family that is represented here today. We thank you, my Heavenly Father, for the rain that you have given us, Lord. We know that most people would think that it is to support the greenery of the mountains, but I'm thinking that is to keep everybody at church and have a meal together. And for that, Lord, I thank you. God bless you all. Meet you in the dining room.
Thank you. take everybody's prayer.